We're doing Zecharia. We're up to what's called the ninth chapter, the ninth pasuk, and the Navi is now starting a prophecy about the great king that is yet to come. And the Navi had already discussed the downfall of Edom, the downfall of the Plishtim, and we discussed last week how these prophecies were interpreted by Chazal as prophecies of what's yet to come. This prophecy as well is a prophecy about the Mashiach that's yet to come. It's interesting that Rashi in his commentary alludes to the way others might want to interpret these psukim. It's unclear to me, I don't have the text to check, whether Rashi wrote more, and he wrote more clearly addressing other religions' claims, and the censors just cut it out of Rashi, or did Rashi leave it to us to understand without spelling it out? Rashi really addresses the way one might be tempted to interpret the verses. And so we'll begin and we'll try to interject with Rashi's comments as we go through the psukim. So the Navi is going to encourage Jerusalem and its city-states to rejoice because the great king is coming. And he will describe to us the time of the Mashiach. And so the Navi says, Gili me'od bat Tzion, hari bat Yerushalayim, hinei malkech yavolach, tzadik v'noshahu. Rejoice, daughter of Zion. Give forth your trumpets in rejoicing, daughter of Jerusalem, for your king is coming to you. Tzadik, he is righteous. Vinosha, and he is successful in his wars. Hashem saves him. Ani v'rochev al chamor ve'al ayir ben atonot. Ani over here, we have a tradition, means he is anavtan. That ani means he is humble. V'rochev al chamor, so he will be riding on a donkey, which is a sign of humility. He doesn't drive in a Cadillac. He drives in a Subaru. Val ayir ben atonot, he rides on one of the simple mules. So although he is so successful, he is modest, he is humble. V'hichrati rechev mei Ephraim, v'isus mirushalayim, v'nichreta keshet milchama, v'diber shalom lagoyim. Hashem says, I will remove the chariots from Jerusalem. You will no longer have a need in Ephraim and in Jerusalem to have chariots and horses for wars. V'nichreta keshet milchama, and the bow of wars will be cut down. V'diber shalom lagoyim, and he will speak peace to the nations. He won't subdue them all by war, but rather through words of peace. And he will be able to get them to follow him because of his speaking of peace. Umashelo miyam ad yam, uminahar ad afsei aretz. And his dominion, his reign, will be from sea to sea. It'll encompass the whole world. And from the Euphrates to the extent of the lands, he will rule. And so that's why Rashi says it would be an error to say this verse is talking about someone in the period of the Second Temple, because we never had anyone that ruled the world in the period of the Second Temple. So Rashi says that's why this pasuk is talking about the Mashiach. And you understand that Rashi is probably contending with what other religions might interpret the pasuk to mean. V'noshahu. Rashi says, yes, we're talking about the Mashiach. We're not talking about anything else, because It says he will get the nations under his wing with peace. It says he will rule the world. No king ever had that. Gam at bedam beriteich shilachti asirayich mibor ein mayim bo. Gam at, you too, Zion. Just as the Mashiach will be successful because of his righteousness, so to you, Israel, because of the mitzvah of the circumcision that you held on to. Gam at, you as well, bedam beritech, with the merit of the blood of the covenant, the blood that, with which you sealed the pact with Hashem, shilachti asiraich mibor, I have released your people who were in captivity, which could mean those that were in exile. I've released them from the pit, a pit that is ein mayim bo, a pit that has no water. So Hashem says, I will redeem the captives of Zion in the merit of the bris milah. And the Navi compares the exile to a pit without water, because when a pit has no water, so then by definition, it ordinarily has snakes and scorpions and all kinds of other dangerous creatures that find a home in such a pit. And that's the situation we were in exile. We were in this pit called exile, and that wasn't enough. We had all these nations who were consistently harming us. Shuvu levitzaron asirei hatikva. Hashem says, return to your fortification. Return to Jerusalem, that is your fortified city. You people who have been in the bondage of hope, meaning as much as you've been in bondage, you've maintained your hope. You haven't given up. You still maintain your hope. You still maintain optimism. You still say it's going to work out. V'techezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion, day in and day out, you pray and hope. Asirei atikva, you've been in the bondage of hope. Gam hayom magid mishne ashiv lach. Hashem says, just as in the days of the redemption from Egypt, I promised you a redemption and revenge, so too today, I'll tell you, you're still going to get double from what you saw then. I'm telling you, it's going to be double the redemption from Egypt. Ki darachti li Yehudam. Because Hashem says, I will, the word darachti literally means to step on, but in Tanakh, the word lidroch could also mean to step on a bow. They used to have these powerful strings on the bows, where they'd step on the bow and pull up, they'd step on the, what's it called, the string of the bow, the quiver? It's step on the string of the bow and pull up the bow and then stick in an arrow and then jump and the string would shoot out the arrow. So there were these bows that you couldn't extend without your feet. That you literally had to pull with your feet, but you understand that they'd shoot very powerfully. So, darachti li Yehuda, over here means, I have used Yehuda as my arrow, I have pulled my bow to stick Judea in that bow, keshet mileiti Ephraim, and I've filled Ephraim, the tribes, the 10 tribes are called Ephraim, and I've filled my bow with them, which is another way of saying the same metaphor. And what Hashem is saying is, so to speak, you're going to be my weapon, you're going to be my tool for bringing the nations under my reign. Ve'orarti v'nayich tzion al banayich yavan. And you, Zion, I will arouse your children to fight the battles with the sons of Greece. Who are the sons of Greece? So, Bnei Yefet, Gomer, Umagog, Umadai, V'Yavan, V'Tuval, Umeshech, V'Tiras. So there's a nation called Magog, that are descendants of a man called Magog, And Magog was one of the brothers of Yavan. There was a man named Yavan, one of the sons of Yefet. And our sages say that the great war that's yet to come is the war of Gog and Magog, where the Gog and Magog will go to war with the sons of Greece, because the sons of Greece, they're relatives of Magog. As we said, Magog and Yavan are brothers. So they'll all come together in that great war, and Hashem will arouse us to fight that war. And you, Israel, will be like the sword of a brave warrior, that sword knocks down the enemy. And so Hashem says, you, Israel, are my tool. You're going to be the ones that will head this battle in the name of Hashem. And we have a tradition that we won't instigate the battle. On the contrary, the nations will gather and come and attack us, to the point where they surround the gates of Jerusalem. V'adonai aleihem yera'eh v'yatzach habarak chitzo v'adonai Elohim v'ashofar yitka v'halach b'sa'arot teiman. Now these are the famous psukim about the period of the Mashiach. V'ashem aleihem yera'eh. Hashem will appear with His Shechina above them, and they will see that Hashem is fighting with them. V'yatza chabarak chitzo, and His arrow will shoot forth like lightning against the enemy. Now, Rashi over here says, in Josephus, we find there was a great miracle. And Josephus mentions that when the Romans advanced on Jerusalem, there was a comet, there was a shooting star, there was a period that they saw lights flying over Jerusalem. And they interpreted that to be this verse, that look, Hashem has come to help us fight our battles. And we know the end of that story, they got it wrong. So I don't know why Rashi quotes from Josephus. You know, that was an error. I don't know, maybe he means Hashem was with them nonetheless. I don't know, maybe Rashi's coming to combine this prophecy with other prophecies. There are places in the Medrash where it describes how we will lose the battle. And then we will be led out into exile. And the nations will recapture Jerusalem. And we will be led out into the desert. And only after a period where we're out in the desert and it seems like we're finished, and there's very little of the Jewish people left, traveling the desert, only then will they be led back into Israel under the guidance of the Mashiach. And perhaps Rashi's alluding to that too, that the people maybe weren't in error. The fact that they lost the war didn't mean it couldn't have played itself out this way. And that sign was, maybe Rashi's learning that sign was the potential for things to play themselves out differently in the period of the destruction of the Second Temple. We find that our sages felt that the destruction of the Second Temple could be a prelude to the Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva was willing to back Bar Kokhba as the Mashiach. Chazal do tell us there was potential for Mashiach at that time. So I'm not sure what Rashi means by this. Rashi says, in the book of Josephus, we find they had a great miracle for the people of Jerusalem. So it says over there that they looked in the sky and there were all kinds of signs. And therefore what? What does that have to do with this? So I'm not sure. Vashem Elokim Vashofar Yitka, Hashem will blow, so to speak, in His shofar, in His a tremendous blast, V'halach B'sa'arot Teiman. And Hashem will go and cause the upheaval of the south, the upheaval of the people of Edom. So there's going to be this anger extended against Edom to destroy it. And Edom is described as Teman. Teman literally means the nation of the south.
Was southeast, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when people say the earth is going to be a great enemy from the east, they mean south.
Who knows? Other prophecies say the enemy is going to come from the north.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Say, like a lot of people say, oh, that it's written that there's going to be one day a big enemy
I don't know.
Like, when that was written, East wasn't what we call East, was it? It was South.
Anos, I don't know, because Edom is always referred to as South. East is not the term that's used to refer to Edom. The nations of the East refers to the descendants of Avram Avinu, the Midianites, the other Arab nations, the nomadic tribes, which might have evolved into Iran or whatever, I don't know. But when the Navi refers to Edom, traditionally the Navi calls them Teman, the nation of the south. He stresses the southern aspect. You're right, they're also southeast, but if you look at the map, it's more blatant that they're south than that they're east. Because they're on the eastern border, but they're really, they extend southwardly. But you're right, I mean, could have said east. But being that it's not juxtaposed on the east side, it's really on the southeastern border, but it extends all the way down south, the Edomite territory. So yeah, I think you would also call it the southern nation. The Moabites are on our eastern front.
Wasn't that called north?
What?
Wasn't east called north?
No, east was called front, not north.
If you draw a map of Israel in ancient times, then your back is facing the Mediterranean.
That's true.
So in front of you is the east, but they called it the north, no?
No, they called it the front. Kedma, but this wasn't only a Jewish thing. Internationally, they used to put east on top of the maps until they discovered the way the earth looks. So they always put the sunrise, the east, was always on the top of the maps. So that was always called Kedma, to your front. To your front was always the east. It wasn't called north, it was called east, Mizracha. Mizracha means where the sun is zoreach, where the sun shines, but it was called Kedma, to your front. Kedem ve'achor, and to your back was your correct, was the west, was Ma'arava, where the sun sets. And then to your right was the south, yeah, and to your left was the north. That's true. You find that in the prophet, that's true. Front, back, right, left are in those terms. But it wasn't called north, it was just called front. So we'll pick up here in Sacha next week. We're in the middle of the prophecy, but...